So, as we mentioned, we're getting close to Rosh Hashanah, and the Haftorahs reflect that. And what's kind of interesting is that we went through a lot as a people. In other words, the Jewish people, there's no people that's gone through more calamities and destructions like the Jewish people. And it's not so easy for us to be comforted, meaning it's not so easy for us to come back and feel Hashem's love again and find come to that new existence. You know, we've been living a life of diaspora where we're spread out and we're living as a minority. And in the last Haftorah, that was on page 1199, Hashem says, I myself will comfort you. In other words, it's one level to be comforted by others. It's another level to be comforted by Hashem himself. And ultimately, that's our understanding was that we were meant to be a people where Hashem's intense presence rested on, the Shekhinah. In other words, the Hashem is everywhere, but in certain places there is a more intense presence of Hashem. And that means that we would be a direct reflection of Hashem's values as a people. And sometime before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they had a vision, if you remember, of Hashem leaving the Beis HaMikdash, leaving that spot, because he could no longer dwell in our midst. And as we come back, Hashem himself will come back towards us, and we look for a future existence where Hashem will be in our midst. And having gone through the different trials and challenges that we thought we could do better on our own without Hashem, now we're coming back, so we're wondering, will we be accepted? Will Hashem take us back? How does that work? And so, to some extent, that's the message of the consolation that's over here in the Haftorah. And he begins. So, first of all, he starts off with the word Rani. Rani is the same word as Rina, which is a happy song, like in Chiramami Ushanenu Rina. Rina is like not just a song, but a really happy song. So Rani is the verb, you know, sing the happy song. Now, the word Akara is they translate that as the barren one. The Jewish people was always the few in number. Also, Yerushalayim was the city that was always desolate. It was an empty city. If you had visited Yerushalayim 100 years ago, even 70 years ago, was a very empty, very desolate kind of city. I think Mark Twain visited Jerusalem, and he wrote about his travels, and almost all the people wrote about it. It was hard for them to imagine that this was the city that all the nations fought over, and that this was because it looked like an empty city. It was a desolate city. So while all the other capitals and all the other nations had big built-up cities, our city was desolate. So it begins off that the city that's desolate, the city that looks like it's empty, is going to become full again. And the word Akara also implies somebody that can't have a child. Like somebody that can't have a child gives up hope of ever having a child. And Hashem kind of says that miraculous things will happen. There'll be like plenty of children, even though it's a city that the city that will sing, it will its children will come back, and they'll Rani Akara, will sing a happy song. The city that until now has been the empty one. In ancient society, if you didn't have children, it's almost like you didn't count. You felt like you weren't. That was that your children took care of you, and your children, you live with your children. And if you didn't have children, it was like sometimes if a person had a wife who didn't have children, he would take another wife. And so the wife that wouldn't have children would be like second class, or would feel very abandoned or very unlucky. In our society, it really is not the same type of stigma, you know, the same feeling like, you know, I don't have. So here it's describing even the one that until now was abandoned, and the one that until now didn't have much children, that doesn't matter. Lo yelada, they never gave birth. All of a sudden, pitzkurina, they'll break forth. It'll happen like all of a sudden. There'll be a happy and joyous song. Now, there's only one problem. To have children, you have to be pregnant first. Usually, that's the only way to get there. So over here, it almost says that we'll... we'll have children without the birth pangs. In other words, the Jewish people will all of a sudden come back without having to feel all those pangs. Lo chaluk, ki rabbi b'nei shumema, and it'll be a shock to people because this desolate city will be more than other cities that were built up. And this, who says this? Who? Omer Hashem, the Almighty says. So Hashem is guaranteeing us himself that our cities will be rebuilt. Again, we look at it today, you go to Yerushalayim, and it's being rebuilt. It's just, I remember when I was there, it was a few years ago, I got lost, of course, because I didn't know my way around, and I took the bus, and I missed my stop. And it kept on going, and I hadn't remembered, as a student, I'd been there 30 years ago, and the city was much smaller then, there weren't that many stops. But this time, there are many, many stops, and each stop was a different neighborhood. And I felt bad because it was taking me a long time to get where I had to wait for the bus to go around, but I couldn't believe how every new stop was like a new neighborhood, and there were more houses and more Jews and more synagogues and more, like you could follow the bus all the way around Yerushalayim. It was just incredible. And you see building going on everywhere, and so it's started to come true to some extent in our time that the city is just it's just growing in leaps and bounds. So all of a sudden, the city that it was abandoned and its children have come back. Verse 2, Hirchivi Makamala, you're going to have to do some extensions. You're going to have to add to the city. You're going to have to add a tent. That's what they do, like in the synagogue, you know, when there's not enough space, they add a tent, you know, out back, or you have a tent. So we're going to have tents. Be'irish Mishno Sayach. And the places of your dwellings, you're going to have to add curtains. In the old days, you used to have, you'd have a big room, and you would make a curtain, and the boys would sleep on this side, and the girls on this side, and you just put a curtain, you know, you divide the space, right? So you'll get some curtains, then you'll add some tents, and somehow everybody will fit. And when you build, when you add these things, you better make them nice and big and nice and long, and you better do it very strong. Verse 3. Kiyamunu small tifrotzi, because they'll spread out to the right, you'll spread out to the left. We're going to be going in all directions. Bizarech goyim yershim, and your children will inherit different nations. So today we know, I mean, the Palestinians don't like that or whatever, that we'll take over the places that are in our. The place where the Jewish people will come into Israel, they will those people that are on our land will be displaced. They'll be taken over. Either they'll be taken over, or in some cases there'll be areas where they abandon. But it's interesting, the Hebrew word, it doesn't say we'll kick them out. This has been the big debate with the Palestinians, by the way, is that they left the cities and they abandoned them because they were told that they should let the army finish us off and then they'll come back. And thank God that didn't happen, and we defeated the armies of the Arab armies. And so therefore we came into many cities that were Palestinian homes and Palestinian buildings. And but the word used here is yirash, you will inherit them. It's almost like that we didn't have to kick them out. I'm not sure if that's so nice to kick somebody out. They left on their own. We just inherited empty buildings. There are places in that we took over. And abandoned cities that weren't there will be newly settled cities, will become rebuilt. Verse 4, Altiri, don't be afraid. Kilo sevoshi. We're afraid that we'll be embarrassed. We came back already twice, and we're scared to come back. We don't know if we'll be accepted this time, if things will work out. So Hashem says, don't be afraid, and don't be embarrassed. Altikomi, and don't. It also means don't be embarrassed. He says don't feel humiliated, but it's a similar word, kilo sachri, because we won't, all of our hopes and all of our prayers and all of our efforts this time, we won't be embarrassed. Ki boshes du lumayak tishkochi, and you'll forget the embarrassment of your, when you were like a widow, when you were all alone all these years, when the Jewish people was all alone and nobody would help them, and that we were meant to be with our partner, which is Hashem, and we've been embarrassed that Hashem hasn't been with us. He hasn't been on our side. That'll all be forgotten. And we won't even talk about it. Yeah. it's important. Sometimes people, they're not embarrassed now, but all they can talk about is how bad things were. You got to stop talking about it. It won't even be mentioned. Let's not mention that. In other words, it's true. The Jewish people have had a hard time. We're not proud of some parts of our history or some things that where Hashem wasn't with us. But it will come a time when we won't talk about that. Why? Why won't we talk about that? Won't it bother us? The answer is, we'll be living in the present, and in the present, Kibal Lechasayik, Hashem will be our partner. Hashem will be there. And so Hashem will come back and join with us. His presence will be felt. Now, here it mentions Hashem Svakos. Hashem, how will you do that? I mean, that you know, there are many, you need a lot of power to do that. So it mentions Hashem in the one who's in charge of the multitudes. The word Sva is like an army. Hashem has armies at his disposal. He has no problem. He can take care of everything. It's interesting why it says, tells us what his name is. Like, don't we know his name? But what it means is that even to Jews that have forgotten that Hashem, who Hashem is, he's going to introduce himself then. So it's just interesting, because like I said, most of these things we could see in our times. We believe strongly that we may be in messianic times. It's just life is full of potential, and if we could realize that potential now, or if things don't play out, it could be another generation. We don't really know. We're reluctant to predict things. In other words, we feel that the footsteps of messianic times are close. You know, we're back in Israel, and miracles have happened, but, you know, and we've kind of reached the end of time, and we had the Holocaust, and we had the world wars, and we're seeing things in front of our eyes, but we just don't know. We don't know whether this will be it or not. So, but when the time comes, Hashem's name will be known. Jews have come back to the land, and Jews have built up the land, but we're waiting to be the light unto the nations. We're waiting for the Israel to Hashem's Hashem to be reflected in Israel. We're waiting to have Hashem, the master of the house. In other words, Israel without Hashem is like not having we're missing everything. So, and Hashem, v'go'alech, Hashem is a redeemer. Redeemer means that when somebody's stuck and they need someone to help them out, they need them to be redeemed. They can't do it on their own. So Hashem's going to get us out. We have people that are all kinds of situations. Hashem's going to redeem them. And he's Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel, Elokei Kol Ha'aretz Yikra. And at that time, he won't just be the God of the Jews, he will be the God of the whole world. 6. It's interesting, the Jewish people is always often compared to a woman. I don't know why, it's a common metaphor of the... I think in our relationship with the husband and wife, so like Hashem is always the husband. But he describes the Jewish people is like a woman who was depressed and abandoned. Ki keisha azuva v'atzuva sruach, a person who's been forsaken and rejected. There's a huge depression in that. A person that has been abandoned, or a person that's been rejected, and we have been rejected, so to speak. It's not clear, you know. Hashem left us, but before that, we left him. You know, we worship strange gods, and we adopted strange religions. And so he said, okay, you want it that way? So fine. And he kind of left us to our own ways. And we've been like this, a person that's been rejected and abandoned. Ve'eshes norim. But Hashem throws in something over here that... there are people that abandon their wives or abandon their loved one, but usually a person doesn't forget their first love, the love of their youth, the one that they grew up together with, that they raised the family with. And Hashem says the Jewish people, we might have had our moments of separation, but Hashem will never reject the wife of the early stages, the wife of the young time. That who says this? Omar Elokayach, Hashem, your God, says this. Verse 7. Berega kat nazavtich. It's true. Hashem said, I left you for 1 second. Again, that's in modern Hebrew, you hear that. Rega, that means like 1 second, or hold it, or stop. You know, with the buses, you always say, rega. In Israel, it's hard to go anywhere without hearing rega. You know, it's like 1 second. Rega. So, berega kat, in one tiny second, Hashem said, I left you. But guess what? uberachamim gedolim, with great mercy and pity and love, ekhapsek, I'll gather you up. Verse 8, b'shesser kesef, with a little, it's interesting because Haftorah is like a song and it rhymes. It's poetic. There's no question about that. There's poetry in the b'shesef kesef, with a little bit of wrath, histarti panai. This term we should be familiar with. It's used in rabbinic literature. In other words, it's called Hashem's face is hidden from us. You know, in the Holocaust, people say, "Where was God?" Right? It means God is hidden from us. We count our calendar by the moon because the moon disappears. We know it's there, but it disappears. Our understanding is that there are moments in life where we don't see Hashem, where we feel, where is His presence? Where is He? So Hashem says, back to the Rega. It's true, there are seconds in life where we look for Hashem and He's hiding. He's hiding by in the clouds. It's hidden. Histarti panai. His face is hidden. Rega, mimeich. He's hidden for a second. But, guess what? And this is the kicker over here. Verse 8. B'chesed olam rechaticho. But I love you forever. Hashem, not only I love you forever, I'll do kindness forever. You are always my favorite, Hashem says. Hashem says, b'chesed, it's in the middle of verse 8. Eternal kindness I show mercy. It's more than mercy. The word rachim comes from the rechem, which means womb. And one reason that one of the strongest things we have in life is a mother's love. There's like nothing, you know, children don't deserve it. Sometimes they're rotten, you know, but the mothers love them anyways because they're their mother, because they carry them in the womb. There's nothing like it, you know. The mother created that child and she's going to love it. So Hashem describes His love for the Jewish people. This word for rachamim or mercy is this. This comes from the same word. Hashem says, "Ubechesed olam rechaticha." Now, chesed means that we might not deserve it. When you do somebody a chesed, it means a kindness. It doesn't mean that they've earned it. It's just because Hashem wants to help us out. So Hashem says, "I'll do kindness for you forever." And again, when you make promises, we've heard lots of promises. We've had a lot of false prophets. So Yeshayahu says, these are not my words. You know whose words these are? Omer Goaleh Hashem. The one that's going to redeem you, Hashem says this. So here you have the same prophet that predicted that Israel would be destroyed and that we'd be kicked out and that we would go into exile, and the prophet, you know, lots of doom and gloom. But you have to see the other half of the prophecy, that, you know, this was for a second and Hashem loves you forever and we're coming back. And I'm just glad that hopefully we're at the better part of this, you know, like the what's scary to us is that a lot of the messianic visions have this, you know, final war taking place. And in the Gemara it says some people didn't want to be around for they wanted to see the messianic, all the beautiful promises, but not have to go through the tribulations of it. We all hope that we had them already, you know, with the Holocaust and the State of Israel, and that we all hope that we had enough tribulations and terrorism. We had enough, and we can just hope for the, you know, the good parts, the rachamim, but that's what's coming, and that's Hashem's promise, and it's not the word of a Navi, it's the word of Hashem Himself. Now, He references another promise over here, verse 9, and this, by the way, is the same Haftorah for Parshas Noach, if it rings a bell. And He mentions the promise that He made to Noach. One reason He mentions that is that when Hashem destroyed the world the first time, they didn't want to leave the ark because they thought, you know, maybe it'll be destroyed again. Maybe this happens every few years. It's going to rain again. It's all going to be destroyed. And Hashem made Noah a promise. He said that he put the rainbow there, and He said that that's it. He's not going to destroy the world anymore. And so there are times in history where we go through a holocaust or a war or a destruction, but Hashem promises that there's a purpose to that. Sometimes things need to be rebuilt. Sometimes you need to start over. Sometimes you need to reboot, but that's just temporary. But it's going to be Hashem promises, just like with Noah, that he had to start, you know, flood the world and start over again. But that's a promise that he made. That's a promise that he kept, just like the waters of Noah. It's interesting, in the Rosh Hashanah prayers, we also mention the promise to Noach in the remembrances, that Hashem remembered Noach. there's an idea that mankind itself, unfortunately, there's a lot of evil in the world. It really is. A lot of mankind is not doesn't accomplish what man really could. You know, that man was created to do so many good things, and you go out in the world, and sometimes you get disappointed. You really see people are just they're like animals in some places, and you just wonder, you know, what's you know, I think there was a feeling during the world wars that this was the last time that was going to happen. We know better. Just go to Syria, you know, they bomb each other, you know, just go to, they haven't learned. People still will destroy each other and cause innocent people harm. And so the hope for the world are from individuals, like Noah was one of them, and the Jewish people is another, that the world exists because of the few, the good, you know, the good, the few that are here. So, like the waters of Noah, and Hashem said, I swore. That means it's a promise. Ma'over me Noah chod. I'm not going to make it. No more floods. Al orath on the land. Kei nishbati. Therefore, just like I swore to Noah that it's not going to happen, so too you, the Jewish people. I'm not going to get angry with you again anymore. Umigar Bach, I'm not going to throw you out anymore. It's not forever. Hashem hasn't abandoned the Jewish people. Hashem will never forget you. That's really the message that we, you know, sometimes you have that, like when a child gets punished and they say, you know, I don't love you anymore, or I'm not going to do this, you know, because they think that's the end of it, you know, they're done, you know. They just look at that punishment, or they just look at this, and they don't love you anymore, or they don't, you know, because they don't see the, Hashem is saying, look, we had hard times, but Hashem loves you forever. He's going to, he promises that he's going to take us back, and he's not going to reject us. Verse 10. This is the final verse, but a very beautiful verse. He references the mountains and the valleys. So some people in other places, who are the mountains? Anybody know who the mountains refer to? Who are the high, the forefathers are called the mountains. They were like mountains, the forefathers. And until now, for the most part, Hashem likes us because of who we came from. We had grandparents, we had great forefathers who found favor in Hashem's eyes. And so that lasts a certain amount of time. People will be nice to you because of who your parents were, who your grandparents were, but at some point, that runs out. And so the way some people learn this verse is that even if the mountains wear out, even if, meaning that we no longer can claim the schus avos, the merit of the forefathers. Another way to understand this is that mountains never wear out. You know, in ancient, you know, today, even today, it would be hard to remove a mountain. You know, the Panama Canal took, you know, how many thousands of people, I think a lot of people died and just cut. But you can't really move a mountain. Like a mountain, there's so much dirt. And, you know, if you had, just like the mountains are not going to disappear, or the valleys, you know, fill up the Grand Canyon, Timuteno, it's going to get smaller. Just like the mountains aren't going anywhere, and they're not going to move. And just like the world exists the way it does, part of the way the world exists is the kindness of Hashem. And v'chaste, my kindness, m'itach lo yamush, and will never be pulled away from you. And we hope for that kindness. A person should always pray for that kindness. Should always ask Hashem for his kindness, his help, we may not deserve it. We may not be worthy, but Hashem guarantees us his kindness. V'chaste, m'itach lo yamush, my kindness will never leave you. And now there's a second thing. There's a kindness, ubris shlomi, and a covenant of peace. Not sure what that is, covenant of peace. I guess kindness means I'll do you a favor now and then, but a bris is more like a treaty you make covenants with different countries, the show, like a peace treaty, like our covenant. But it's a covenant of peace, that we won't be at war with each other, that we'll get along with each other, that we will complement each other. So Hashem says, just like I'll always do kindness towards you, and we'll always be partners. We'll be partners in peace. That'll never leave you. And you want to know who says this? Omer merachmecha, the one who loves you, the one who takes pity on you, is the one who says this. So it's very interesting. You have this same flavor, like it's really three times. In case you don't know who's saying this, I, Hashem, the one that loves you, says this. In case you know, I'm the one who has the ability to do these things. It's just really a focus on acknowledging that we've had galus, we've had exile, but that's a second, that's a moment. It'll pass. You know, sometimes they say that's what a person, you know, tells himself, you know, when the things are difficult, it'll pass, you know, and the person should try to find Hashem's love and try to reach out for it. And that's the part of what brings us towards, like, the Rosh Hashanah message, which is the come, you know, Hashem's being worthy of having Hashem's presence on us, being worthy of that coming back. And so that's the message here.